Some of you were at the memorial for James yesterday. We're not going to have three preachers this morning. But I didn't want these songs sung. I received the information of what songs would be sung and who would be doing what several days prior to the memorial yesterday. And I looked at those songs that had been selected. And of course, those songs were some of the favorite of James. And as I looked at those songs and thought about his life and thought about my life and thought about the life of people, I saw a message in those songs. I saw a message that was seen in his life. I've seen that message that is really there for each and every one of us. I'm going to take a few moments in looking at the message that I believe James recognized, James lived by, and that each and every one of us needs to recognize also. First of all, that song, "O Thou Fount of Every Blessing," that was sung. We look at that and understand, just as James did, that everything that is meaningful in this life comes forth from Christ Jesus. That he is the fount of all blessings for us. When we look in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Notice it doesn't say physical blessings. And I recognize, whenever you look over in Matthew the 6th chapter, the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus said that he would take care of his children physically. But the focus always is on that which is spiritual. And I think, I know James recognized that because of our studies, because of the life that he lived. But in this life, I worry that there are those that really don't recognize that. That they think more along the lines of the physical. God doesn't love me unless I have this or unless I have that. And that's not the case. The spiritual blessings are the focus. And that from Christ Jesus is every spiritual blessing, not one left out. He doesn't give out or divvy out based upon who you are or what you are, but as children of God, he delivers all spiritual blessings and makes spiritual blessings available to those that are not children of God. And James recognized that. And then when we look over in James, the first chapter, verse 17, James says there, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation, no shadow of turning." And there are those that live this life, and a lot of problems and issues come up in this life, and maybe the focus is away from the spiritual blessings, and they look then at the negative. Why has these things come upon me? Why am I afflicted with this? Why all this trouble and care that is in my world? And even to the point where some have asked, "Why has God done this to me?" But then we go back and we look here in James, the first chapter, verse 17. We understand that God is the giver of good, not the giver of evil. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from him. And in connection with that, he says, there is no variation, no shadow of turning. He does not change. He is constant and is something that we can absolutely put our trust on. It is on what God gives to us, and that is good. And especially in connection with those spiritual blessings. James realized where his blessings came from. He had family. He had multitudes of friends. That was evident yesterday. An 87-year-old man, probably 150, I would guess, Wayman, probably 150 present at that memorial, and Beverly said 19 online to join in. And I have officiated memorials and funerals for those that were in their 80s, and I've seen crowds of 10 or 15 that come because they're forgotten. He had friends. He had those that loved him. Those were blessings, but he focused on the spiritual blessings. That's where we need to focus. This song that we sang, "In Need," speaks to the recognizing of one's weakness, God's power, and that he can fulfill the needs that we have in this life. When I think about this, I go back to Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. When we were still without strength, in due time Christ Jesus died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet for adventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The song goes through four aspects as we sang. The need of grace, the need of love, the need of mercy, and the need of strength. And we'll look at all those in just a moment. But that need was addressed by Christ Jesus, was addressed by the Father in giving Christ Jesus to us so that our needs would be fulfilled. And it wasn't making sure that we drive the finest cars, have the finest houses, we have the internet, we have cable TV, but the true needs that are there, the forgiveness of our sins. The song says we need grace, and that is absolutely true. When we look over in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 through 10, matter of fact, I need to go ahead and switch this over in respect of James, as we mentioned yesterday, to the King James Version. This is what I quote anyway. And there, Paul says, for by the grace, the is actually in the original, for by grace we are saved through the faith, rather, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he says then, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto, or for the purpose of good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. All people need to realize that they're in need of the grace of God. And that grace was abundantly shown to each and every individual who has ever lived upon the face of this earth that is cognizant of their need, by the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. And as we go back and look at Romans 5, chapter verses 6 through 8, we understand that God didn't look down and say, well, so-and-so is such a good person, I'm going to give my son for him, but not for someone else. No, he was given for all. And that is the expression of grace from God. And also the recognition of that need of grace needs to be in everyone's life. And without that, we think that we're making our own way and how weak and frail we actually are. And especially in connection with that which is spiritual, that is our soul's need. We also see that we're in need of love. When we look over in Titus, the third chapter, verses 3 through 7, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We see that we need that love from God. As a matter of fact, John says in his epistle, his first epistle, that God is love. God is love. And the expression of us being on this earth, and the expression of God's word being given, and the expression of Jesus coming to this earth, and all things that were in connection with the plan of redemption flows forth from love. And we're in need of that. James recognized that. And we need to recognize that also. We're in need of God's love. And it's not unconditional love. It is unconditional love that Jesus was given as a sacrifice. But from that point forward, there are conditions. If one is not a child of God, that through the faith of hearing, they must hear the gospel of Christ Jesus. That through that gospel, they must come to a point of repentance, where they understand there has to be a change in my life in order to be pleasing to God because of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. That there has to be the name of Christ made in a public way so that people will know where our allegiance is. That he is the Son of God, and that we are baptized for the remission of our sins. There are the qualifications that are there, and it doesn't stop there, and James realized that, as we should also. But after becoming a child of God, the qualifications don't stop. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or show was that perfect will of God. We see that we're in need of that love. And again, it's not without qualification, but it is absolute love. We are desperately in need of mercy, as the song said. Wherever we stand before God at the end of our life, whether it be whether he comes or not, when we pass from our life, just as James did, putting down the mantle that had been given him to house his soul until his time and sojourn here upon this earth was over. The one that betrayed him, and if we live long enough, will betray each and every one of us. We'll become weak and frail, and then we will pass. When we pass from this life, whether it is at the coming of the Lord or through normal means, we never, ever want to stand before our God without mercy. When we look in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He, by his mercy, gives to those that will receive his grace. He gives that mercy so that he looks upon us and doesn't see those that are children of God standing on their own, but rather what he sees by those that are obedient to him and following the qualifications that are given. He sees the blood of Christ upon them, and he sees a son, a child, an heir, and joint heir with Christ. And that is the mercy that each and every one of us needs. James recognized that. We need to recognize that also. The last thing we want when this life is over is to stand before God in judgment based upon justice. I don't want that. I can't stand before God without justice, and neither can you. And then also, we're in need of strength. And when we look over in Colossians, the first chapter, in verse 11, as a matter of fact, let's go back to verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might. How are we strengthened there? It is by the increasing in the knowledge of God, in God's will for us. That strength that is there provided by God's word. According to his glorious power and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We're in need of strength. And strength can't come from within except that the word of God is living in us. And that we have that knowledge. Otherwise, we're walking about really powerless, without strength, and we're wandering. James recognized that. I can tell you that by the hours of study he and I did together, discussing scriptures and looking at it and being strengthened by one another in our understanding. We also sang the song, Holy to the Lord. I just want to pick out a few words there in that song, cleansed and reconciled. And wherever I look at that, I think about 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 18 through 21. And Paul says there, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Not just covering over of sins, but obliterating sins. Not reconciling us to the world, but rather reconciling us to God through Jesus Christ. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation, and that is that new covenant, the word, the gospel of Christ Jesus, wherein the promise was made, as the Hebrew writer recalls, in Hebrews 8, chapter and verse 12, their sins and iniquities under that covenant, I will remember no more. What a blessing that is. Cleansed and reconciled. Now then we are ambassadors, this apostle says, for Christ. As through God did, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You see, it goes back to a choice. We can either be serving self, serving this world, serving our desires, or we can be serving God and be reconciled. For he hath made him to be sin, or counted as sin, for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. That's how God views the children when they are cleansed and reconciled. We become, children of God become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? But not only cleansed and reconciled, but living undefiled. And we go back to Colossians, the third chapter, verses 8 through 10 now. But now you also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We see there that we have that living undefiled that all Christians need to recognize, that we're not part of the world. We put off those things. That's the old man that we were to bury at baptism, not raise again, but completely bury him. But we also see that thoughts in truth refined in that passage. And I like, whenever I look at this, to consider this from the ISV. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as an approved worker who has nothing to be ashamed of, handling the word of truth with precision. The trouble we get into is when we start thinking that we have liberty to use God's word as we will, as we wish. There is that which is given to us, ordained through God's word, for the instruction that we know if we do this, we certainly are on safe ground. And then the other things belong to the Lord and not to us, about those questions that we may not be able to answer. So the works in him is designed, which is shed forth through his word. And we see also, as we look in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, in verse 5, the Hebrew writer says, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. He says, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. There it is. What God has said, we know that if we do that, we are safe. We are obedient. He says in that song also, it says, sanctified, purified, and justified. And I see that when I look over in Romans. To what Paul has to say when we look in Romans 8, chapter, verse 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, that is by that which he predestined, which was the plan of redemption, for whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, them he called, them he also justified, them he also justified, he glorified. Not based on worthiness, not based upon merit, but based upon that love, grace, and mercy that we talked about. And then that song says, Father, keep me holy. And there are those that would look at that word holy and think about someone walking around dressed a certain way with a very pious look on their face, hands folded together in a certain way and never looking up. And what they are describing there is not the outward, but is to be the inward. We're clothed with Christ Jesus. And on that clothing is his shed blood. Our hands are folded, not in an outward way, but in an inward way, where we recognize that our petitions go to God. And our heads are bowed in humility, in the inner man, so that we don't look upon self, but we look upon Christ Jesus. And so we are told then in verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that holy there means separate from the world, separate and apart. People look at those that are children of God, and they're not to see someone like the world, but they see someone that is not ignorant of God's will. And they also see someone that is harmless as doves, because the best interest of their souls is in the mind of a Christian. We sang the song also, "When Peace Like a River." No matter what comes upon us, it is well. And there were a lot of things that came in James's life, a lot of things that came upon him. He almost died a few years ago, had to have heart surgery, emergency heart surgery in order to save his life. There were a lot of things that came upon him. He lost a son. No parent should lose a child, but it happens. He had lost brothers, he had lost sisters, he had lost many loved ones. And yet, he understood where his peace would come from. When we look over in Romans 8, chapter verse 31 through 39, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is God who justifies? Who is he that condemns? Is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. And the Greek word there is so interesting in that we are super conquerors through Christ Jesus. Through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And because of that, James and those that are children of God can have peace. They can have peace. No matter what's taking place in their life. We also sang, till the storm passes by. And again, there are storms that come upon us at all times in this life. Just as Job had said, a man that is born of woman is a few days and of many troubles. And that is the truth. I think about this in connection with what Paul states over in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and verse 13. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And what he's saying there, yes, the troubles will come, but even the persecutions will come, and even the temptations will come. But God has trust in us, or else we would not receive those temptations, trials, and troubles. That we will overcome because he has made the way of escape. What a blessing that is. The storms will come, but also, as the song says, they pass by. They pass by for those that will overcome. You see, the storms of trouble remains with those that are not children of God. They're continually in the storm until they come to the Lord. And then we sing the song, "How Long Has It Been?" And that's about prayer. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secret? How long has it been since we dropped to our knees, blessed the God of heaven, thanked him for all that he's given to us, and we go back to Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 9 through 12. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing constant or instant in prayer. The child of God has a prayerful attitude. And not only that, they express it by dropping down on their knees often to make their petitions and requests made known to the Father. We're going to use Psalm 594 as a song of encouragement. And you see, for those that become children of God, there's that hope that is there. There's a rainbow. There's a rainbow that is shining. And you see, all that has been given to us by God is for that purpose. I mentioned yesterday in that memorial James had lived his life for the very thing that came upon him, and that was death. He made preparation during his life for the time in which his body would no longer support him upon this earth. He made provision for service unto God so that he would have that hope of hearing the words, "Enter into my rest, thou good and faithful servant." I said in the memorial yesterday, all we can say from a scriptural standpoint when anyone dies is that they're in the hands of a just God. And that is all that we're told. But I will tell you this. Those without living that life do not have the hope of hearing those words, but only children of God. Maybe those present this morning that are not children of God. Or maybe some online. I don't even know who we have with us right now online. Turn to Him. Turn to Christ Jesus. Turn to your God that gave us His Son. Render obedience to Him so that there can be, at the end of this life, a rainbow. A rainbow in the clouds. You understand what that's from? Going back to the covenant that God made with all of mankind after all flesh except for eight souls had been destroyed from this earth. It was a sign or a token of the covenant that God would never again destroy this earth by water. And contained within that token, that covenant, is that hope that we can serve God. Those of us that have been baptized and have become children of God, are we living it with the preparation for death? Because here's the fact. Hebrews 9 verse 26 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." We will die. We will pass from this earth. I will miss James, as I said yesterday. Loved him so much. Loved that family. It was such a great honor to be part of that memorial. But he's not the focus. Christ Jesus is the focus. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.